At the legislature today, one senator is calling for the resignation of the director of the State Division of Natural Resources because he won't support expanding deer farming in the state. And the special report from the northern gas fields of West Virginia. Authorities are grappling with an excessive amount of waste products, and the State Department of Environmental Protection has asked lawmakers to approve putting it in commercial landfills. These stories and more coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Beth Voorhees. Today is the final day for committees to approve bills without having to suspend the constitutional rule to read the bills on three separate days. Lawmakers held lengthy meetings to get through what they consider to be important legislation. The House Judiciary Committee had a long agenda this morning. Aaron Payne reports.
While the committee was unable to get through all 19 items in the morning session, they were able to approve a constitutional amendment that would partner with Senate President Jeff Kessler's future fund bill. The resolution would put the specific parameters of the fund into West Virginia's constitution. The only changes made by the delegates included adding land reclamation to the areas in which the fund could be used. It was unanimously approved by the committee and will now be considered by the full House. If it passes, the Senate would need to approve of the House changes. Lawmakers want the amendment put before voters in the 2014 election in November. Another bill considered by the committee was Senate Bill 204 relating to crime victims' compensation awards. The bill, as approved by the Senate, removes the provision allowing landlords whose property is damaged by meth labs to receive compensation. That provision concerned Delegate Patrick Lane, who felt it would punish innocent property owners. He proposed an amendment to put the measure back in.
The problem that we have is that this isn't just slumlords. It's not business people who are absorbing the costs. And most insurance policies actually will not provide insurance coverage for criminal acts. This, unfortunately, is one of the very few areas of recourse that this particular constituent of mine, and I'm sure some constituents of yours, have when it comes to cleaning up and getting some help.
Unlike other crime victim compensations, the federal government does not assist with meth lab cleanups. The provision was removed by the Senate due to fears that it would drain the crime victims' compensation fund. Delegate Stephen Skinner said removing the provision would encourage landlords to be more careful when renting.
The whole point of this bill is to shift the responsibility back onto those folks to be vigilant and make sure that the operations going on their property are legal. State of West Virginia and the taxpayers shouldn't be paying for this, and they can get private insurance for these kinds of costs.
The amendment to continue funding meth lab cleanups was rejected. The bill revising the provisions in crime victim compensation awards was approved by the committee to be reported to the floor with the recommendation that it do pass. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Aaron Payne. In the House.
The House is debating Senate Bill 373, the Water Protection Bill, at this hour. Reporter Aaron Payne and videographer Daniel Walker are there, and we'll have that report tomorrow. Senators discussed a wide variety of issues today. The menu ranged from closing a golf course at a state park to the Division of Natural Resources' opposition to the deer farming industry. Ashton Mara has more.
On the floor today, senators concurred with House amendments on five Senate bills and unanimously passed nine bills. Those included House Bill 4457, which Senator Bob Plymouth explains continues and sets rules for the Earn a Degree, Graduate Early program.
The EDGE program is a program that allows high school students to earn college credit in a career technical field for courses taken during high school.
After amending eight bills, two senators rose to speak about local issues they feel could have larger state impacts. Senator Bill Laird brought to the chamber's attention the possible closure of the Hawk's Nest Golf Course in Fayette County. 62% of the course's budget is absorbed by the state because of a lack of participation from the community. But Laird says the point of state parks is not to make a profit. The point is to provide recreational opportunities to the people of West Virginia while protecting its wildlife.
Mr. President, I rage today on behalf of the communities who are struggling to rebuild themselves in the wake of declining populations and shrinking economic opportunities. Mr. President, I rage today on behalf of families who want their children to learn to hit a golf ball rather than a crack pipe. Mr. President and ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, thank you for allowing me to rage.
After Laird, Senator Mike Hall of Putnam County stood to address the struggles the city of Hurricane is facing in trying to build a water impoundment to use as a secondary emergency water source. The city currently has a pond that can provide a 25-day supply, but Hall says since 2010, they've been trying to build a second that could provide an additional 17 days worth of water. The plan is being blocked because the Department of Environmental Protection says it impacts a small stream and 0.3 acre of wetlands.
I understand wetlands and streams need to be mitigated, but the frustration that I personally feel for the city and for the citizens is the fact that this was a water project, and I can tell you that since what's happened recently in with the elk and so forth, there have been a lot of phone calls. People came to Hurricane for water during the crisis. If you look, there aren't any above ground tanks there. There isn't anything to interfere with this. They just can't. And because our county does well, and our per capita income is what it is, we apparently cannot get some relief that some of your counties might get.
A Senate committee meeting saw controversy today as House Bill 4286 was discussed. The bill pulls the state deer farming program from the oversight of the Division of Natural Resources and puts it under the Department of Agriculture, which Senator Daniel Hall supports.
The DNR has been doing everything in their power in recent years to squash that entire industry. They will not promote it. They're trying to kill it, just being blunt. And so we don't want to do that. We shouldn't have to do what we're doing. But in order to promote an industry, we're trying to move it over to the Department of Ag, who has experience and knowledge in how to promote, regulate an industry, an agriculture industry, and do it the right way.
The state DNR has opposed the industry because they feel white-tailed deer are wild animals and should not be farmed. But Hall says the industry could diversify the economy of areas that are hurting, like southern West Virginia, and he's calling for DNR Director Frank Jezero's resignation. The DNR director, like many positions in state government, serves at the will and pleasure of the governor. Those appointees, however, are subject to the consent of the Senate. The Senate Confirmations Committee hears testimony and questions those new appointees, and today focused on 7 members of the State Ethics Commission.
In today's meeting, we have scheduled 7 of the members of the Ethics Commission Board, and the motivation behind that was, you know, we've had some issues with quorums. There was a piece of legislation that's out there that would change the board from 12 to 10. I think we have actually reduced that number down to 7 in order to help facilitate a quorum for the commission to meet.
The first appointee questioned by the committee, new Commissioner Betty Ireland, former Secretary of State. Also scheduled to appear before the committee this afternoon was new Department of Health and Human Resources Secretary Karen Bowling. The secretary, however, was unable to appear and will be rescheduled. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in the Senate.
In other legislative news this afternoon, the teacher pay raise bill was amended to increase pay by $1,000 and a 2% raise for school service personnel. That was approved by the House Finance Committee and heads to the floor. Also this afternoon, the Senate Finance Committee passed the bill to increase minimum wage, though not by as much as the House. It now heads to the Senate floor. In a moment, a special report about the waste created by natural gas drilling and what to do with it. First, here's a look at what's coming up in the Senate tomorrow. Among the bills up for passage, Senate Bill 306, the budget bill. House Bill 4186, relating to concealed weapons licenses. A license may not be issued unless the sheriff has verified the buyer's information with a National Instant Criminal Background Check System. House Bill 4236, establishing the Sexual Assault Nurse Examination Network. House Bill 4256, providing a salary increase to members of the state police. House Bill 4284, the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. House Bill 4393, creating the Dangerous Wild Animals Act. House Bill 4425, allowing the superintendent of the state police to hire legal staff. House Bill 4449, relating to the West Virginia Innovative Mine Safety Technology Tax Credit, including proximity detection systems and cameras used on continuous mining machines and underground haulage equipment for tax credit purposes. And House Bill 4496, regarding an allocation for matching funds for the West Virginia Research Trust Fund and including West Virginia State University to participate in the fund. Among the bills on second reading, House Bill 2387, relating to reasonable accommodations under the West Virginia Fair Housing Act for persons with disabilities who need assistive animals. House Bill 4147, authorizing the governor or the legislature to declare a state of preparedness before a forecasted weather disaster or large-scale threat. House Bill 4208, banning synthetic hallucinogens. House Bill 4245, requiring certain healthcare-related professional licensing boards to request that licensees provide their anticipated retirement dates to plan for future workforce needs. And House Bill 4298, decreasing the State Ethics Commission from 12 to 7 members. State lawmakers are working to take maximum advantage of the boom in natural gas drilling in the state. Lawmakers are considering creating a future fund that will save the money the state makes from the gas severance tax and stash it away for the state's future needs. But there's another bill that deals with the industry. House Bill 4411 allows disposal of drill cuttings and waste generated from well sites at commercial solid waste facilities. The bill is at the request of the Department of Environmental Protection. As Glennis Board reports, it's a byproduct which authorities say can threaten public health without proper disposal.
The Horizontal Well Act of 2011 allocated funding to study the impacts of horizontal drilling. Legislators reached out to West Virginia University's Water Research Institute. Director Paul Zimkevich studied both solid and liquid waste produced from horizontal wells.
Well, this is a piece of Marcellus shale. It's a black shale. It's very tight. You don't see any pores, obvious fissures. It's called a source rock. They actually contain the original hydrocarbons. And eventually, in conventional oil and gas development, these hydrocarbons have been moved out of this source rock and into what's called a reservoir formation, a much more porous rock that does not need hydrological fracturing or hydrofracturing. So in order to get gas out of the source rock itself, you have to drill in and fracture it in order to take that gas out.
So through the miracle of machinery, we can now unlock this non-porous rock and capture a fossil fuel that burns cleaner than coal. But what do we do with the waste products? Zimkevich studied both solid and liquid waste streams. First, let's talk about liquid. Horizontal wells produce two kinds of wastewater, flowback and what's referred to as produced water. Zimkevich explains, once a well is fracked, meaning once operators take 5 million gallons of water mixed with sand and additives and blast it deep into this hard, black, non-porous rock called Marcellus Shale, the pressure is then released. And the first thing that happens is a regurgitation of some of that fluid.
The stuff that comes out over the first initial maybe 60 days or so is called flowback. So you have to get that flow back out of the system before you can start producing gas. Now, you start producing a little bit of gas as soon as you release the pressure. But when it gets to the point where you can start commercially producing gas, you switch over to something called produced water. So it's kind of different water, but now you're producing gas. So everything that you get out of the wellbore during gas production is called produced water. So the same water that starts out as flowback, or same stream that starts out as flowback, turns into produced water. The quality of that water changes over time.
Zimkevich explains that the longer the fracking fluid mingles with the rock formation, the more stuff from that formation flows back out with the fluid.
And that can include organic compounds. It can include lots of salts. So sodium chloride, bromide salts, mainly chloride salts of one kind or another, strontium chloride, barium chloride. These things start pushing back up out of the hole, and the concentration of all those salts, almost everything, including radioactivity, starts to go up during the flowback cycle. So the longer you go into flowback and then produce water, generally the higher the concentrations get. So people are very concerned about what's going down in the initial frack water. In our experience, almost that's the least of your problems. the stuff that comes back up out is almost always more concentrated.
Zemkevich says in some cases, this briny water produced a concentration of about 250,000 milligrams per liter of dissolved solids, which he explains is essentially 25% solid. Where does it go from there? Well, Zemkevich says about 25% of that fluid is pumped back into deep wells classified as injection waste disposal wells. 75% of the flowback is being recycled, but still has to be processed. Solids like clays, metals, and rocks are filtered and precipitated out, leaving cakes behind. These cakes are then dumped into solid waste landfills. The same place that the mud and rock produced during the drilling process is dumped. So now we're in the realm of solid waste. Here's where it gets a little muddy. Bill Hughes is the chairman of the Wetzel County Solid Waste Authority.
Our concerns, and that would be most of the members of the Solid Waste Authority, not just mine, and it's a concern of a lot of other residents live here, it's the quantity of the waste, the quality of the waste, and the process by which a couple memos from the Department of Environmental Protection sent memos to landfills like this and said, you can exceed your tonnage. They never asked or even told any county solid waste authorities that that was being done.
Scott Mandarola, director of the DEP's Division of Water and Waste Management, explains horizontal well operators were just sort of spreading this waste on properties or dumping it or burying it, whatever, wherever. By all estimations, a bad idea. The Horizontal Well Control Act of 2011 specified that instead the waste should be disposed of in approved solid waste facilities. So municipal landfills started accepting the waste. And we're talking about a lot of waste.
This is a Class B landfill, has been for 20 plus years. Class B landfills are limited to 10,000 tons of municipal solid waste per month. Now that can include construction debris and other miscellaneous waste, but it's limited to 10,000. In October, they took in 40,000. 30,000 tons were drill waste, drill cuttings, various waste products from the Marcellus drilling operations going into it. And the quality concern that we have is that it's uncharacterized waste.
I don't think we've characterized this material adequately enough to determine whether or not it really belongs in solid waste landfills or whether it belongs in a higher standard landfill.
The leachate, which is the water that percolates down through from rainfall or the entrained moisture in the drill cuttings, have been showing significant amounts of radioactive isotopes, gross alpha, gross beta, radium-226, and radium-228.
Black shells tend to accumulate, uranium. Uranium breaks down into radium, which is what you see coming back. Now, we never got to sample any of these drill cuttings or drilling muds from the Marcellus itself. But even looking at the going through the vertical sections, a lot of them turned up as exceeding, and we didn't have many standards to actually compare these to, so we used drinking water standards, federal drinking water standards. For whether that's the right approach or not, I'm still not sure. Nevertheless, a lot of these drill cuttings and muds, the solid, their liquid fractions came out as being well in excess of drinking water standards.
Zemkevich is calling for an additional study to further test these solid waste streams.
Is this stuff hazardous or not? I don't know. I mean, by the time this stuff gets to the landfill and is diluted, it may or may not even be a problem. It may be we're focusing on radioactivity when that's not a problem at all, but the real problem is organic contamination like benzene. I don't even know we're focusing on the right problems.
So people like Hughes, they want to remain active participants in deciding what kind of waste gets stored in and around their communities. As for where this waste would go, should solid waste authorities decide to stop landfills from accepting the waste, a lot of people are suggesting that industry should foot the bill for special facilities to be built to accept it. Now, where that facility would go and to what specifications it would be built, well, that's another battle for another day. In the meantime, solid waste from fossil fuels continues to be a problem that plagues these industries. And as for now, communities feel like they're being asked to shoulder the brunt of that responsibility and also a lot of the unknown risks that come with it. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wetzel County.
House Bill 4411 dealing with drilling waste will be considered by the Senate Thursday and Friday. And here's a look at what's coming up in the House tomorrow. Among the bills up for passage, Senate Bill 307, authorizing community corrections programs to operate a pretrial release program. Senate Bill 397, clarifying the definition of financial exploitation of the elderly or certain other protected persons. Senate Bill 523, providing for an additional state veteran skilled nursing facility in Beckley. Senate Bill 579, to improve housing development and land use by providing an option to all municipalities, counties, or combinations to create a land trust program in order to eliminate blight and address vacant, delinquent, or foreclosed properties. And Senate Bill 602, requiring health care providers wear ID badges. Among the bills on second reading in the House tomorrow, Senate Bill 3, to enable an owner of real property to pass the property simply and directly to a beneficiary upon the owner's death without probate. Senate Bill 202, to authorize the creation and recognition of benefit corporations. Senate Bill 252, providing that a pupil who successfully completes or is certified as making satisfactory progress toward completion of juvenile drug court may return to school. Senate Bill 356, the governor's bill reforming state purchasing procedures. Senate Bill 393, allowing the governor to borrow money from the rainy day fund. Senate Bill 419, to provide immunity from certain offenses for a person who seeks health care for someone or for himself or herself who is experiencing a drug overdose. Senate Bill 431, changing the renewal cycle for driver's licenses from 5 to 8 years and allowing for online renewal of driver's licenses. Senate Bill 450, allowing the sale and consumption of alcoholic liquors in outdoor dining areas. Senate Bill 477, prohibiting administrators from compelling a teacher to attend any work-related event during a planning period, except for occasional specified instances. Senate Bill 621, authorizing insurers to offer flood insurance. Senate Bill 623, requiring coal mining companies to notify the director of the Office of Mine Health and Safety of a positive drug or alcohol test of a minor or refusing to submit a sample or tampering with a sample. House Bill 4015, the budget bill, and House Bill 4622, taking $12 million from the Attorney General's Consumer Protection Recovery Fund and appropriating the money to other state agencies. This has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow, we'll get the latest about the health issues at this session with lobbyist Tom Stevens. On Friday, Governor Tomlin will join us to wrap up our television coverage of the 81st West Virginia Legislature. On Saturday, our TV coverage is over, so we're taking our legislative coverage online. Reporters Ashton Mara and Aaron Payne will be at the Capitol tweeting the latest about the final bills being considered. Digital reporter Dave Mistich will be keeping a blog outlining all the action on our website, wvpublic.org. I will be monitoring speeches and debates from the House and Senate floors and posting those. Our website will be your go-to source to check in with all that's happening. The final day coverage, the next generation, this Saturday, March 8th, on wvpublic.org. I'm Beth Voorhees. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support for legislative coverage provided by the High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at wvhtf.org. And by the West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers, online at wvaflcio.org.